The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. The voice, now more than ever, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 24th day of August 2022. And tonight we have my producer on the board, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And we have, well, he's an author, he's a researcher, he's a filmmaker, and he is a patriot statesman, my good old friend, Trevor Loudon. Are you there, Trevor?
Hey, Pastor Ernie, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a long time we've known each other, hasn't it?
Yeah, many 10 years now.
Yep. I'm going to start tonight here. The title of my message was The Unholy Confederacy Between the Apostate Church and Corrupt Government. And I'm going to read three verses from 2 Peter chapter 2 and make a little bit of commentary, and then I'm going to sit back and turn you loose. Are you ready?
I am.
All righty. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I remember back in 1958 when Cleon Colson, he wrote the book, The Naked Communist. And then later on, about 1967, Jürgen Moltmann, he teamed up with a fellow named Ernst Bloch out of Tübingen University. And he came up with a book called Theology of Hope. And basically what they tried to do, the idea was to combine the teachings of Jesus Christ with those of Karl Marx. And it was an amazing thing because you know, here you have the Lord Jesus Christ and you have a practicing Satanist, Karl Marx, a practicing Satanist. Now, they came up with this Theology of Hope, or liberation theology as it's known today. And you had people who were like James Cone, who's one of these. And the whole idea was that they really didn't give any meaning at all to the scriptures. For example, Cone suggests that the resurrection of Christ simply means the liberation of all people relating to physical deliverance. In other words, their idea of salvation, and we're talking too, the national council of churches today. A lot of people don't realize this, but their idea of salvation, Trevor, was not individual salvation, but collectively a collective salvation. When the proletariat would someday, when Christ returns, to give the proletariat victory and transfer the wealth and power to them from the bourgeoisie of that day. And so this is what we have today, liberation theology. And if it's a sin, they embrace it. Okay. So, and you have written a book and made a movie called The Enemy Within. Take it away.
Well, thank you, Pastor, and you're quite right. You know, to try and combine Marx with Christianity is just completely heretical. You know, Marx was a Satanist. He believed in, you know, I'll put it this way, God gave us three institutions. He gave us the church, he gave us the family, and he gave us civil government. And the role of Marxism is to overthrow all three. That's what a revolution is. You overthrow those godly institutions. You know, is the church under attack today? Is the family under attack? Is civil government under attack? They all are, because the Marxists are in every one of them. And that's why we did the movie, because Enemies Within the Church, exposing the Marxist infiltration of not just the old mainstream churches, that's been going on for 100 years, but even now the evangelical churches, the Southern Baptists, the real Bible-believing churches are now being swayed and led into Marxism, accepting the LGBTQ agenda, which is Marxist, Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, white privilege, social justice, refugee resettlement, welcoming illegal immigrants. All this is Marxist, all of it. And this is coming into even evangelical churches now, driven by people like Tim Keller of the Gospel Coalition and Jim Wallace and thousands of young pastors who are now coming out of the Bible colleges and seminaries every single year. So it's a really big issue, because, you know, if we lose the church, well, you know, just take the spiritual side out of it. If you lose the church, you lose the culture, you lose America. Freedom's done. Because the church is the backbone of America. And that's why the communists are in there, to try and destroy that. But spiritually, you're getting millions of people go to church every week and think they're Christians. And they're hearing some social justice gospel telling them all about their white privilege and all about welcoming refugees across the board and all about social justice, but nothing about hell, nothing about sin, nothing about repentance. You know, heaven is the revolution, as in liberation theology. And these millions of people go to church and thinking they're learning Christianity when they're learning Marxism with a little bit of a Christian veneer. And yeah, you imagine all these young people, Pastor, and you go to church. You know, a young person gets up on a Sunday morning and thinks, you know, my life is directionless. I really need a foundation. I better start going to church again. So they go to church, and they hear all this Marxist stuff, and it either turns them right off, or they think this is Christianity. So they're either turned away, or they're beguiled, one or the other. And that's happening to hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people across this country. You know,
so,
do you think I'm being a little unfair here, Pastor?
Not at all, not at all. And I know one of the things that helps to promote this is the fake news media, what is called the mainstream media. They will promote, they will encourage people to attend or give these apostate churches that are actually synagogues of Satan. They're not Christian at all. They're as Antichrist as Antichrist can get, but they don't know it. And you see it here in Cleveland, the headquarters of the United Church of the Antichrist is right here. They embrace every kind of sin that you can imagine. Every kind of sin that you can imagine. The Episcopal Church out there now today. And people don't realize the Episcopal Church had a witch. I remember, I don't know who's there now, but I remember a few years ago as their head. And so this is, and again, Karl Marx was a practicing Satanist. So when you bring in his teachings, Remember, when he taught the proletariat that it was a moral thing to kill off the bourgeoisie, if you will. It was a moral to kill those.
It wasn't just moral, it was a duty. It was a duty to do that, to ensure human progress.
And if you get that an inference there today in the apostate church towards Donald Trump and towards Christians, that to have violence against us. Many of these same people you see out there screaming, screeching, hollering, hate-filled people, that especially these so-called feminists, they attend the Pilgrim Church. They attend these apostate churches. Here, I know that for years and years, 45 years, I went out and preached 2-3 times a week at the bloody abortion mills. We saved a lot of babies. But those very same so-called escorts, their death escorts, as they were called, very whorish women, wicked, I mean, evil to the bone. They would be out there. As soon as these young girls came into the abortion mill, they'd have their arms around these young girls. But these are the same ones that were pastoring these so-called churches. They call themselves churches, but they're really witch covens, aren't they?
Well, that's right. You look at this logically from a couple of points of view. You know, wouldn't the devil want to be inside God's church? Wouldn't that be the place he would want to go the most?
He's the first one there Sunday morning.
Insult to God?
Yeah, he's the first one there Sunday morning. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, and if you look at it from a purely secular point of view, you know, if you're a communist revolutionary and you want worldwide communism like Xi Jinping or Vladimir Putin or these people, you know, and Vladimir Putin is a communist. I can go into that later if you wish. But anyway, if you want worldwide communism, there's one nation that's standing in your way. That's the United States of America. And what is the backbone? What is it that makes America strong? In our movie, we quote a Chinese study, a communist Chinese study. They studied the United States for 20 years to determine what made the U.S. so strong. First, they thought it was the military, but they abandoned that idea. Then they thought it was the political system, but they abandoned that idea. Then they thought it was the economy, but they abandoned that idea. Then they figured out what it was. It was the Christian faith. That's what made America strong. So that is why the communists are burrowing into the church, because if you can bring the church into disrepute and even harness the church to your purpose, you're achieving a great revolutionary purpose. You're bringing the church either down or to the left. Either way, it's going to help the revolution, because the church should be standing against the communist revolution. And if you can neutralize that, you're halfway there. And that's exactly what they're doing. Most churches in America now are at least partially Marxist.
Okay, before we go any further, tell the folks before the phone lines start lighting up, because this happens all the time. People will be calling and wanting to know how they can get the book or your film or the book.
The movie,
go ahead and let them know.
Yeah, look, just go online, enemieswithinthechurch.com. Enemieswithinthechurch.com. You can pay-per-view. You can download the movie. I think it's $12.95 or something like that. Or you can buy hard copy DVDs. And we've also, you can download it in Spanish or Portuguese. And we're going to have it in Chinese, Korean, French, German, several languages before we're done. So the whole world needs to see this movie. It's 2 hours of some of the most shocking stuff you'll ever see. Whistleblowers, Marxist churchmen in their own words. We name the names, we pull no punches, and we explain what the heck we can do about this.
Well, even today, if you take a look at Marxist, what they call so-called pastors, or Al Sharpton comes right at the top of the list. Jesse Jackson, these people up there, Rick Warren. Okay, as far as I'm concerned,
Rick Warren, absolutely, yep.
Yeah. and others out there. These are, but people should know what I just read about false teachers coming in. But because of biblical illiteracy, that's the problem. Biblical literacy, if people understood the Bible, they would recognize right away that these people are false preachers, that they're false teachers. But
the pastor who narrates it, Jerry Gordon, out of Sioux City, Iowa, very, very dynamic guy. He makes a point in the movie. Is this when they train shop assistants to spot fake money, you know, fake 50s and fake 100s, they don't show them fake money. They show them the real thing, the authentic money. And if you know the real thing well enough, you can spot a fake easy. So if you know your Bible well, you can spot a false preacher. But if you don't know it, if you have no grounding yourself or a very weak grounding, you can be sucked into just about anything. And that's the problem with many churches today. The pastors are very weak, and the people don't know their Bible. So they're just drifting along in error. They have no idea what they're doing. And they're easy meat for the Marxists. They're a soft touch.
I remember very clearly back in the early 60s, and I was scratching my head when that German Enlightenment movement started over here. And it was talking about the main thing, and it was on all the talk shows about how pastors now are learning how to get in touch with their feminine parts. And I mean, again, this, and I watch all these neo-evangelicals come on.
How'd that go for you, Pastor Ernie?
Well, it did go. I couldn't find any feminine parts, so I was, didn't know where to start. But anyhow, I remember how that, and the neo-evangelical movement started, and these squeaky little fellows who wanted to be, where they were sweeter than Jesus, okay? But there was no fire in them. No fire at all. No backbone, no guts, no courage. And they could look the other way. And how they used Romans 13 as a crutch, okay, to give themselves an excuse not to stand up and like men. You know, God's Word, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, gives us three main missions. Three. One, of course, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. First and foremost, that's mission one. But Trevor, from Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible, teaches resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to tyranny is obedience. And then the last, he tells you there in 2 Thessalonians, to stand your ground, hold to the tradition of the apostles, and not back up. We are not to back up. But what's happened? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's great points there. Look, what's the point of having free will? You know, God gave us free will. What's the point of having free will if you don't live in a free country? You know, God clearly wanted us to live free. That's why the Constitution is modeled on the Bible. It comes from the Bible. It protects our liberties because God wants free people to worship him. He doesn't want people to be slaves. So it's our duty to stand against tyranny. But you make a great point about the feminized church. These people saying, oh, you know, they're sweeter than Jesus. Well, Jesus was pretty rough at times, was he not?
Oh, he was.
You know, he didn't go into the money changers and try and negotiate a peaceful settlement. He threw the darn tables over. He came with a sword. You know, Christianity used to be a very masculine religion. You know, onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. You know, how wimpy is that? You know, so this is what has happened to the church. The church has been deeply feminized. Because every family knows you need two kinds of love in a family. You need the feminine love of the mother who will bandage your knee, who will look after you, who will nurture you, always be there for you. But you also need the masculine love of the father who will boot your little backside if you disrespect your mother, make sure you do your homework, and teach his son to be a man and his daughter to be a lady. You know, every family needs that, And every church needs that. But what kind of love dominates most churches today? It's that soppy feminine love, is it not? Which is great when it's balanced with masculine love, but by itself it's disastrous.
Well, you know, I think what dominates, too, is the love of money and the love of the comfort zone. You know, that's what you have out there again today. And this is where this prissy preacher thing came along. And I remember as a young preacher, when they passed Roe v. Wade, I remember back when they kicked God out of the public school, and I was asking, what are the pastors going to do about this? They should have marched on Washington, D.C. The pastors had the obligation. They had the obligation to march on Washington, D.C., and to put that court that calls itself supreme on trial for treason against God and the country. But they failed. They failed God. They failed him. And then in 73, it was worse. And I remember when I was preaching, where are the pastors? I was a young preacher at the time, Trevor. I remember one of the pastors saying, if you keep this up, you're going to bring the government down on all of us. They were more afraid of the government than they were of God, weren't they?
Well, that's right. There's two points there. I was reading a discourse the other day. It was a pastor up in Canada, in the same city that pastor was arrested by the government for keeping his church open during COVID. The guy with a Polish name, and he got a real hard time. And this pastor was saying, oh, this guy's terrible. He's going to bring the government down on us. We try and work with the government. You know, how shameful. You know, that guy should have been praising that man. But instead he was criticizing them for provoking the government. But, you know, if you go back, there's good history there because, see, Lyndon Baines Johnson, who when he was a senator from Texas before he became president, he was surrounded by socialists. He was very left-wing. And he introduced the Johnson Amendment to the tax code, which basically told every pastor that they couldn't keep their tax-free status if they endorsed candidates from the pulpit. But they took that to mean that you couldn't do anything political. It gave every cowardly pastor in the country an excuse to shut their mouth, to not say anything controversial. Then the government took prerogatives. Then they passed Roe v. Wade. You're perfectly right, Pastor. You think they could have done those two things if they hadn't bought off the cowardly churches first?
Well, I belong to the... I'm a part of fellowship with the unregistered UBF, Unregistered Baptist Fellowship. We are not 501c3. For 50 years, I've been preaching against the 501c3. For
Absolutely.
50 years. And see, the vast majority of people out there, and what happens to some of these pastors, to their defense, they listen to the lawyers and the accountants. They should have listened to God's Word, the Bible, and understood. When they received that 501c3 tax-exempt status, when you apply for that, you agree with the state that the state, not Christ, is your head. The church is the living body of Christ, the living body of Christ. When you become a 501c3, you become a corporation. Corpus, Trevor, is a non-living creation of the state. So you agree in a contract, in a covenant with the state that you are not the living body of Christ, but you are a non-living creation of the state. And you look it up, what they have for pastor there, and the word is agent. It's an agent instead of having the pastor or shepherd. And if you look that up in Black's Law, you know what it says? Intercessor between the assembly and the state, or a spy for the state against the assembly. And so that's your 501s. And I've been, for 50 years, for 25 years, I challenged any three neo-evangelical preachers to debate me on Romans 13. For 25 years, I never got a taker, not one. For 25 years. Hey, hang on. We'll be back right after this.
Sure.
I had had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
This is Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. In Matthew 24, verse 8, our Lord warns of a future time that he calls the beginning of sorrows. The world is on the brink of that time. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." I believe that that passage of Scripture currently describes the deplorable moral condition of both America and Israel today. Please join with us on September 11th for a National Day of Repentance, fasting and praying for revival. Encourage your pastor to preach a sermon on repentance, fasting, and revival on 9/11/22. May God bless America.
All righty, we are back, and we have with us Trevor, the nationally known author and filmmaker and scholar, and boy, I'm going to tell you, a researcher, doing a lot of research, and patriot statesman, Trevor Loudon. Trevor, you know, the Bible says all things are possible with God, and we know what happened when, well, when that fellow named Jonah he went to Nineveh, and because the people repented, they repented, and it bought them another 100 years before they were destroyed. And so if America today was to do exactly what God's Word, the Bible says, to repent and call upon the name of the Lord, and this is what we're trying to get them to do, and turn back to God. Let me ask you this. Do you think we have enough? In my opinion, probably only about 10% of those that fill the pulpits today are actually saved. But there's hope for America. If America will repent and turn back to God, we can overthrow. We can cancel culture, can't we?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And this isn't everybody. God always looks for a remnant, you know, like, and if you look at, in the Old Testament, you know, David versus Goliath, you know, Gideon versus the hordes, Gideon 300 versus the horde. It is bold people with faith and courage that make the difference. And so we don't need everybody, but we need, you know, we need enough. And we need real people, you know, real committed Christians, not just fake ones, not just, you know, make-believe ones or whatever. And so, yeah, I think if I didn't think this country could be saved, it wouldn't even be here. But I think it can be. This is a special country with a constitution inspired out of the Bible that's done more good for the world than any other. I don't think God wants this lost. But no, people have to do their part.
He does it. And, you know, for, you know, the past 100 years when people wanted to escape communism from whatever, they could come here. But today it's here. It's here. And people, and if I tell you that Joe Biden is a communist to the bone, he's every bit as much communist as Karl Marx. And I believe he's every bit as much communist and anti-Christ as Putin or any of the others. There is no more Democratic Party. It is communist to the bone, to the very bone. And these people, they're working. I mean, Joe Biden was set in there. He's owned by the Communist Chinese Party, and he was sent there to reduce America to third world status. And now with 87,000 new IRS agents to totally destroy and take away the middle class. Am I right?
100%, you know. I say this, if Joe Biden was put in place to destroy the middle class, to wreck the U.S. military, to alienate us from all of our allies, to empower enemies, destroy the economy, and destroy the border, what would he be doing differently than he is today?
He'd be doing nothing. He's working hand in hand with the human trafficking cartels and the drug cartels. The Biden crime cartel is working hand in hand with the other crime cartels. That's reality. That's actually what's happening. And let me ask you this. All of these young men of fighting age and military age that he's bringing in, and they're putting them in buses, and they're driving them to these small cities around the country. And they're sleeper cells. These are sleeper cells. And go ahead.
Well, you know, Hamas and Hezbollah have been bringing sleeper cells into America since the 1980s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when it was hard to get in. Well, imagine what they're doing now. We know that Hezbollah are working with the cartels. They're bringing people all the time. But I'm sure there's also Chinese military here. I'm sure there's also Russian military and Cuban and Nicaraguan, and many other countries as well. We're getting ready, you know, Russia and China are getting ready for war against America right now. And we're going to be facing that with a president who's working for them and a whole army of the enemy already in our borders. You know, that's a pretty dire situation.
It is, but on the other side of that, okay, God has raised us up for such a time as this. The evidence is this. We're here, and the time is here. And so we have nothing to lose, everything to gain. God's Word teaches us that He has expectations of us, and we have obligations to him. And so right now, if you could, if the people could get the courage, and again, I'm starting to see, I'm seeing pockets. I went down and I spoke at a place not long ago, and it was an interesting thing because there was a lot of young pastors there. Now, for 50 years, I've been preaching against the 501c3. And there was a number of young, and they had just discovered what the 501c3 was, that you're not supposed to be one, you know? It's an amazing thing out there. The other thing, too, is these New Age Bible perversions of the Bible, they bring in to change things, okay, to change the word. So people are going to churches that really aren't churches at all. They're dead corporations. There's pastors that are not really pastors. They're hireling in the pulpits. And they're reading from Bibles that are perversions of the Bible. But you know what? He tells you in Proverbs 1, he refers to them as simple-minded, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, look, this has all been, this is nothing new here. You know, we've known this was coming for a long time, and we've seen iterations of it for years. But you made a good point. This is about courage. Well, the only thing that's going to save us now is truth. And to say the truth, at these times you need courage. And what gives you courage? Faith gives you courage. If you lack courage, you've got to look at your faith. Because if you really believe, if you have your eyes on eternity, what would you be scared of in the world today? What would scare you more than losing your salvation?
Well, you see, again, you have to, you're right, if you have your eyes on eternity, but today this biblical illiteracy is so prevalent, so many people out there have no idea about what salvation is. And again, I would take it back to, you know, the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of the Lord, but it begins in that pulpit in that house. And I want to say again, no place has our Lord been more betrayed than from the pulpits of what are supposed to be churches. You know, they have not had the courage. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. They're bold as lions.
Yeah.
And but you know, the reason so many of these prissy preachers, they're prissy there, is because they have people that come, they want their ears tickled. They don't. I remember hearing some people saying they attend the mega churches because they can fit in, and there's so many people, and they never have to worry about being called upon to do anything. And those people are in deception.
It's a business model for lazy people.
Yeah, it is. But, again, we cannot move them. You know, I had, we did so many things, and, you know, for years we did the Shake the Nation, where a group of us pastors, about eight of us, would go across the country, and we would preach, and we would try to inspire the pastors. And well, we had a few that woke up, but it can't be us. It's got to be, I guess, the Holy Ghost is the only thing that's got to can inspire them to awaken. There's got to be revival.
Well, see, I think that revival is coming through the home churches, the small churches. You know, if you look at the politics of this country, most Patriots, conservatives are pretty disgusted with the leadership of the Republican Party. They know that's not going to save them. But you're getting all these people fired up all around the country, getting involved in groups and Moms for Liberty and all this. It's really, it's a big movement out there. Well, I think it's the same with the churches. People realize their pastors are not leaders. They've let them down. And so you're seeing these little home churches spring up everywhere, and small independent churches, you know, the big denominations are splitting and folding, whereas the small churches are growing, because that's where you're more likely to hear the truth preached. And
I know
it's a huge movement.
I know we've had a big influx of new people coming to our church because, and they're leaving the mega churches. That's where they're coming
Absolutely.
From. They're coming from the mega churches. It's because we're real. We're real. We actually believe the Word of God. We are not a 501c3 corporation. You know, when these, let me tell you something. If I would be so ashamed to show my face, if I was to pastor the church and have it one of the centers to give out the poisonous poke, the jab, the what they call the vax, to actually use the house of God to give the kill shot. But unbelievable how many of these mega churches did that.
Well, see, this is the other point, isn't it? You know, if your church is taking government money, you're taking government instructions. And a lot of these churches are getting money through the faith-based initiative schemes that Obama started, George Bush started, and Obama amplified. So they're all compromised. Just like we saw Newsmax and Fox News promoting vaccines because they were getting money from the government to do it. You know, isn't that just the height of treachery? You know, organizations that are supposed to be telling you the truth, that the conservatives look to for truth, and they're taking money, they take government money to tell you to take a vaccine that you know is risky. And they know it's risky, but they're still taking the money to promote it to you.
And the people, the guy, we had him on the program, the one that invented that, said it's not a vaccine at all. It's a bioweapon. It's a bioweapon invented for the military. And so...
Yeah.
Look, I'm
not a doctor, so I can't go into the whole thing. I know I'm not vaccinated. I'm going to intend to be that way because I know it's dangerous. And I haven't got the skills to debate exactly how dangerous or whatever. But the fact that churches would take 30 pieces of silver to sell their people out just shows how corrupt many of these churches are. You know, how many churches stayed open during the pandemic? It was a handful, wasn't it? And those churches are all growing. Where many churches who closed down or either haven't even reopened or they're struggling with much, much lower numbers. And why would you go back to a church? You know, when you need some spiritual help more than any other time and they're not there, why would you go back?
Well, here's the thing. Well, a lot of people didn't go back, but you see, with us, I can tell you with us, the first person that came to church early next to me was the fellow from the county constable. He was the county constable. And I said, what are you doing here this early? This was on the first day that went into effect in Ohio, where you weren't supposed to have more than 10 people. You were supposed to have your socialist distancing, and you were supposed to wear masks. And I had gone on the radio, and I had made it clear that we weren't going to do that. We were going to be open for church just like normal. We fear God, okay? And these were not mandates. Now, we have a constitutional county where the sheriff actually had it posted there that if these are mandates, they're not laws, and if you're offended by being around someone that you think should wear a mask, and if you're offended because they're not wearing a mask, then you have the right to leave. But it is not a law. So I made it very clear. We weren't gonna do any of that. So the first guy in was the constable, and I said, "What are you doing here so early?" And he said, "Well, I knew you weren't gonna abide by any of that, and so I'm here to make sure nobody gives you a problem, okay?" And we weren't, and we never did. We never did abide by any of that because it was wrong. And God's word, the Bible, makes it very clear: we are not to hide the image of God. We are not to be ashamed of the image of God and covered up with a mask, are we?
That's exactly right. Good for you, Pastor. You know, but that's the thing. This is how many pastors had the faith to have the courage to stand against the government. How many pastors?
Well, the pastors did. It was the hirelings. That's where you have most of them are hirelings. They didn't have the courage, and they didn't stand against the government.
Yes, so that's why we did the movie, Pastor Ernie, because people have to understand, if we're going to save this country, we have to save the churches. And people are going to fake churches, they're going to Marxist churches, they don't know what they're being taught. the churches are leading people astray. They're leading them to the political left. And people need to understand this, because if we don't save the churches, how are we possibly going to save this country?
We've already had people calling in asking about the name of the film. And you have the book by the same title, Enemies Within the Church? Enemies Within the Church.
We just have the movie. We have some books on the website, enemieswithinthechurch.com. We have some books on the website written by some of the people in the movie. We don't have a book directly about the movie.
Okay.
But there's a lot of, at the website you can find a lot of extended interviews that we didn't use in the movie, a lot of material. We've got a Wokepedia, which is a sort of a Wikipedia of woke pastors and woke churches, so you can avoid them. There's a lot of information on that site, but the primary thing is to get the movie Enemies Within the Church at enemieswithinthechurch.com.
Amen. Now, like you said, there's a big movement that's going on right now. We're seeing this movement, and I think you're seeing that revival. I know that there's a big demand on you to come and speak. People are calling me left and right. They're even asking me to come and speak in London, England, and that, here's the thing. In some of these, you got to be very careful, because they'll let you come in, but they won't let you leave without taking the poisonous poke.
That's right. And the British government, the Australian government, and the New Zealand government, and the Canadian government are all keeping conservatives out. You know, not all conservatives, but anybody with a little bit of controversy or an anti-vax message or anything like that, they won't let them in. So it's a little bit problematic.
Well, it's very, what we do on this radio program, if I was doing this in Canada, I'd be arrested. I'd be jailed for doing this.
Right. We got to appreciate the freedom we have in this country.
Well, according to Mr. Jobama Biden, we're not going to have that freedom if he gets his way, because I heard him say that preachers that preach the old-fashioned Bible, the old-fashioned way, they'll be considered hate crime if they continue to do that. In other words, he's talking about preaching against sin if you continue to do that. And now go ahead.
Well, they've passed all these hate speech laws, which are completely unconstitutional, and the next step is to declare the Bible as a hate speech document, because it condemns homosexuality, it condemns adultery, it condemns a lot of things, and this is hateful, you see. This is hating adulterers, this is hating homosexuals. So therefore, the Bible either has to be modified, or you must stop preaching it, because this is now considered evil. And we're living in a time where evil is considered good and good is considered evil.
So what we need to do, what we have to do, is be obedient. One thing that from Genesis to Revelation that God demands more than anything else is obedience. That's obedience more than anything else. So in the days that we're living in, and as everything that's happening is simply the signs that the time of the Lord's return is coming closer and closer and closer. And that means that we have the here and now. This is all we have, the here and the now, to place up those crowns in heaven. So instead of being afraid and scared, we need to be running to these battles. I mean, run to them, the resistance. And I'm seeing some signs that there is some awakening in that area, more and more.
I'm certainly seeing it, but this is what people got to realize. For he who knows the right thing to do but does not do it, for him it is a sin.
James 4:17.
Yeah, 4:17, yeah. So if we are living in a country that's heading for disaster because we've disobeyed God's laws for so long, we have an obligation to do the right thing here and do everything we can to save it. Just like we, say if you're walking past a river, you see a little child, you know, falling in. You have an obligation to save that child. You have, that's a sin if you don't save that child when you can do it. Well, we also have an obligation to save our country, because not saving this country is going to wreak chaos and havoc and misery on our neighbours. And we're supposed to love our neighbours. So we have a responsibility. If we shirk that duty, we are sinning. And we know the penalty for that, do we not?
Absolutely. The wages of sin is death. And, you know, when you have these blue states like New York and New Jersey and California that are passing these horrific, horrific anti-God, anti-Christ abortion bills, you know, and these people, like, they just elected that guy for Congress in New York, in that open seat. He just, by about 1 point, he beat the guy that was running against him. But because he ran on a baby killing, this guy is an animal. He's a beast. Yeah. He runs on baby killing. No person that is in favor of killing little children is a decent person. These people are evil. They're wicked to the core, wicked to the bone.
Well, what about that other New York congressman, the Marxist Jerry Nadler, the head of the Judiciary Committee, who publicly said God's opinion is of no interest to the Judiciary Committee?
I heard him say that. I heard him say it. I heard him say that. You're absolutely right. Well, you know, guess what? First of all, Jerry Nadler, sodomy is a sin, Jerry Nadler. God's word in the Bible, Jerry Nadler, sodomites will have their place in the lake of fire. Jerry Nadler, sodomites will have their place in Lake of Fire.
Fire.
There you go.
What is more love? They talk about love all the time. What's more loving? Trying to get somebody out of sin by calling it out, trying to make them understand it as sin, or just saying it's not sin, it's okay. Which is more loving, really?
Well, the Bible says if you love them, tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the tough love. That's the masculine love, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
And you don't see a lot of that in most churches. Not many people get held to account in churches anymore. You know, very gentle. It's all very loving. It's all lots of kumbaya. There's very little of, the fire and brimstone that people need from time to time.
It's phony. It's not real. It's syrupy. And what it is, it's the tickling of the ears. People that have itching ears are having their ears tickled. And, you know,
you're going to love this movie when you see it, Pastor. Because this is everything you're saying. This is on steroids, everything. This is preaching it like it is and calling out the enemies and standing up for truth. You're going to really resonate with this.
I got to tell you this. You know, I kind of felt like the Lone Ranger for a while, preaching against communism until you came along. I mean, I've been preaching against this for 50 years, but when you came along, you took this to a new level. And I mean, with your film and everything, listening to you on different radio programs, it's like now I've got some help. Hang tight. We're up against the heartbreak. I'll be back right after this. Okay. Don't go away.
Fight the fight, take a stand, light the light, let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.